The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Quarantine fatigue. Good Monday afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Warmer weather across the country, not here, but across the country. That's putting social distancing rules to the test today.
I know everybody's raring to go. They want to get out.
I have to eat. I have to pay my bills.
I've been waiting for this a long time. I haven't been out the house in over a month.
As calls for states to reopen grow louder, the lack of social distancing cause for concern to some in the healthcare industry. Dr. Deborah Birx chairs the president's coronavirus task force.
It's devastatingly worrisome to me personally, because if they go home and infect their grandmother or their grandfather, they will feel guilty for the rest of our lives.
President Trump says the economy can reopen without risking lives to COVID-19. Correspondent Greg Clugston.
The president acknowledges valid fears on both sides of the COVID-19 issue. Some Americans are worried about getting sick. Others are hurting economically and want to work. Mr. Trump told a virtual town hall on Fox News Channel that you can satisfy both. Gradually lift the lockdowns while protecting people from the virus. He said the U.S. death toll could reach 80 or 90,000, but declared that we have to reopen our country. And he remains upbeat about the economy's ability to bounce back.
Eight more states began rescinding stay-at-home orders today, including Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis.
Nobody really knows what the shape the epidemic's going to take. As we go into phase one, you know, we just have to wait and see and look at the data.
Illinois shelter in place will not be lifted for another month at the earliest. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot had this warning for anyone who ignores her ban on mass gatherings.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail.
The president's confident a coronavirus vaccine will emerge before the end of the year. He adds China has a lot of explaining to do for creating this crisis.
I think they made a horrible mistake and they didn't want to admit it. They tried to cover it. They tried to put it out. It's like a fire. You know, it's really like trying to put out a fire. They couldn't put out the fire.
Mr. Trump says the U.S. may enact new tariffs on China for not coming clean about coronavirus.
We're all playing a very complicated game of chess or poker. Name whatever you want to name. But it's not checkers, that I can tell you.
Secretary of State Pompeo says there is growing evidence to suggest that COVID-19 was born in a lab in Wuhan, China. The U.S. Senate begins work today on phase four of the coronavirus stimulus package. This is the part of the bill that deals with local and state governments. Fox News business analyst Stuart Varney.
That's a very good thing, because coming this Friday, we're going to get some absolutely dreadful numbers on employment. The numbers are likely to show that we're lost 21 million jobs in April, and the unemployment rate was well into double digits, possibly as high as 14 or even 15%.
The White House cautions these stimulus bills will not be used to bail out states. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
States can use the money for policemen, firemen, first responders without limits, so we can make sure that none of those people who have been fighting the front lines in any way are impacted by the states having lower revenues. But the president's very clear. We're looking to help states, but we're not bailing out states' finances.
New York State only has about one more week of reserve monies to pay unemployment benefits. At the Foreign Desk, correspondent Vicky Barker has an update on how Europe is coming back from coronavirus.
Italy was the first country in the world to order a nationwide lockdown. Now, parks there are reopening, restaurants can serve takeout, and people can visit relatives for the first time in 8 weeks. In Spain, liberty, this cyclist shouts, allowed outside again. Spanish hairdressers back in business, and in Germany, which has also allowed some of its youngest children to return to school. Slowly, European life is returning, not to normal, but to a new normal.
The heads of America's top two political parties are taking vastly different views on the assault accusations against Joe Biden.
Democratic Party National Committee Chair Tom Perez tells ABC's This Week that the allegations leveled against Joe Biden by a former Senate aide are part of a push by Republicans to smear Biden just as they did in 2016.
This is like the Hillary emails.
But GOP National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel, also on ABC's This Week, accuses the Democrats of downplaying the allegations.
It went from me too, me too, me too, to move on, move on, move on in a nanosecond.
Tara Reid, Biden's former staffer, alleges he sexually assaulted her 27 years ago. She says she filed a limited report with the Congressional Personnel Office that did not explicitly accuse him of sexual assault or harassment because she was too frightened to write about the sexual assault. Tim McGuire, Washington.
Wicked weather way down south last night. Storms tore a path of destruction through downtown Nashville. Thunder Boomer's doing a lot of damage to the Music City.
It was pretty intense. It lasted for about 10 minutes, and we held on for dear life.
The National Weather Service reporting wind gusts of 70 miles an hour. The so-called murder hornet has been spotted in this country, and it could decimate the honeybee population.
Yes, this 2-inch-long insect decapitates other bees and kills up to 50 people a year in Japan. According to the New York Times, the hornets are like something out of a monster cartoon with a huge yellow-orange face, prominent eyes, and a black and yellow striped abdomen. The hornets do not typically go after humans, but if they do, not even beekeeping suits can protect against their sting, which is packed with neurotoxins. Even if you're not allergic to the hornet, multiple stings have the potential to kill. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Breaking news from the world of sports. Don Shula has died at the age of 90. Shula was the NFL's winningest coach, amassing 347 career victories during his time with the Miami Dolphins. He is the only coach in history to go undefeated in a single season and won 2 Super Bowl titles. Don Shula dead at 90. Still to come on the Noon Report, frost flakes and freezes in May. Kevin's calling for some uncommon cold. Cuomo says bundle up with a mask when you go out, and what school might look like this fall.
Well, good afternoon to all. Cold front crossing the area today is the beginning of another round of some cooler than normal air for our region. I'll be back with the complete forecast in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. Governor Cuomo warns social distancing does not go out the window when you go out the door.
I know the weather's getting warmer. I know people want to get out of the house. Fine. Wear a mask and socially distance.
He has instructed police to cite those who do not wear a mask in public.
Enforce it. Enforce it. Because it's not only wrong, a public health risk, it really is such a little thing to ask of people.
Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo.
We as a department are not looking to criminalize anybody's behavior for not wearing a mask.
He's not had to issue any tickets yet for failing to comply with the governor's mask mandate.
We have had situations where people were either too congregated in a certain area or they were not wearing masks in situations where they were, you know, in close proximity to other people. 9.5 out of 10 times we simply ask people to either disperse more or go in a different direction, and everybody's been compliant.
That's Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo. With stay-at-home learning the name of the game for the rest of the school year, some are looking ahead to what school might look like come the fall.
School, by nature, is a social gathering place. How do we make sure that students stay apart? I don't know. That part is going to be really challenging.
That's Buffalo, New York Superintendent Kreiner Cash.
We're going to have to take temperature of all staff coming in the morning, all students coming in the morning. That could increase the time before we even start class.
Cash says he would be surprised if we resume school in September the way we left school in mid-March. As Pennsylvania prepares to begin opening up this Friday, new data from the state shows new COVID-19 cases at a 2-week low. 24 counties begin a phased-in strategy for reopening this Friday.
We're going to be reopening facilities in these counties as quickly as we can, but we want to maintain public safety.
Governor Wolf says businesses in those counties that cannot allow for social distancing must remain closed.
Every human-to-human contact is a chance for the virus to spread, so more contacts means a higher likelihood of an outbreak.
Movie theaters, gyms, dining rooms, gatherings of 25 or more, organized sports, and visits to nursing homes still off limits in Pennsylvania. House Speaker Mike Terzai says this cannot continue indefinitely.
We're up almost at 1.7 million unemployment compensation claims filed in Pennsylvania. That's over 20%. And our estimates are that another 500,000 persons are without work.
The state's top Republican fears if the closed sign is not lifted soon, many businesses will never come back.
You can be safe and you can provide economic activity.
Governor Wolf warns businesses that do not abide by his social distancing guidelines, they will be shut down just as soon as they reopen. New York, Pennsylvania, and five other states have created a regional supply chain for the mass production of personal protective equipment. This is to prepare for the possibility of there being a second wave of coronavirus this fall, God forbid. Well, bird watching's become something of a national pastime in the midst of the pandemic. Many people turning their gaze from their screens to the great outdoors. Experts say there's been a spike in amateur bird watching. The American Audubon Society says interest in bird watching has soared in recent weeks. Downloads of popular bird apps have spiked, and retail figures show an increase in sales of things like binoculars, bird feeders, and bird seed. Well, it's time for sports. The two-minute drill. Sonny starting us off with a little football news.
Thank you, Bob. Yep, English newspaper The Daily News reporting the NFL will not play its four scheduled games next season in London due to the pandemic, while ESPN set the league's games in Mexico City will also not take place. The NFL expected to release the 2020 schedule this week. William Byron earned a third iRacing victory in four events, pulling out a win at virtual Dover International Speedway. Byron passed Timmy Hill with seven laps remaining to give Hendrick Motorsports drivers four consecutive iRacing victories after Alex Bowman won last week at virtual Talladega Super Speedway. The legend of Secretariat continues to grow. The 1973 Triple Crown winner waited into the final lengths to surge past the rest of the competition to win the 2020 virtual Kentucky Derby, which featured every Triple Crown winner, Secretariat able to hold off Citation and Seattle Slough. While the NHL is outlining a plan that could have players back in their home rinks by mid-May and the season restarting in July, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said non-Canadian resident players would still have to follow quarantine protocols if they join their teams in Canada. The docuseries on Dub Bulls continued last night, where we saw Michael Jordan sign with Nike. The film's director said spot-built basketball shoes had a chance to sign Jordan.
So they matched Nike's offer, but they couldn't match the marketing. They couldn't promise David Falk that they would market Michael the way that Nike would.
And even after hearing Nike's offer, Jordan...
he still called Adidas and said, are you sure?
By the way, Nike's $40 billion in revenue over the last 12 months, 60% more than Adidas, 43 times what it was before it added Jordan. And as you heard at the top of the hour, legendary Miami Dolphin head coach Don Shula has passed. The team said he died this morning at home at the age of 90. Shula was the coach of the undefeated 1972 Dolphins and won two Super Bowls with the team. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you for that, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, Kent State, 50 years later. A conversation with Dr. Alveda King, and May the 4th be with you.
All across coastal Japan are large old stones with dire warnings. In 2011, some learned the cost of not heeding those warnings. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Remember the calamity of the great tsunamis. Do not build any homes below this point. Those words are inscribed on what are appropriately called tsunami stones. These are markers left by previous generations in Japan that warn future generations of difficult lessons learned. After decades with no tsunamis, especially given new technologies like better seawalls and floodproof construction, these kinds of warnings are increasingly seen as relics from the past, not so much wisdom from the past. They become easier to ignore, and as a result, in 2011, many perished. The villagers of Aniyoshi, however, heeded the instructions that their forebears placed on these tsunami stones in the 1930s, and they moved their village to higher ground. Not only did they survive the 2011 tsunami, they survived the 1961 as well.
When I learned about these stones recently from a friend, I immediately thought of a parable by G.K. Chesterton about those who are always trying to reform things. Let us say, he wrote, for the sake of simplicity, there's a fence or a gate erected across a road. The more modern type of reformer goes gaily up to it and says, I don't see the use of this, let's clear it away. In other words, as Chesterton said elsewhere, we should never remove a fence until we know why it was put up in the first place. Look, there's no doubt we live in a culture that's quite committed to clearing away all kinds of moral fences and all kinds of areas of culture, often replacing them with new fences in new places. Even in the church today, and perhaps especially in the church, there's a great temptation to move fences, to lower or remove moral standards, and a well-intentioned but often misguided attempt to be welcoming. Often the tsunami stones of moral truth, which the church has embraced and taught faithfully for some 2,000 years, are seen as obstacles to progress. The first and greatest commandment to love God, at least as we've long understood it, seems to be in conflict with the second one of loving neighbor. But of course, this just gets it exactly backwards. It's cruel to tell someone who's not okay that they are. It's not only possible to be loving and to tell the truth, it's in fact impossible to be loving without telling the truth. Learning to hold truth and love together, especially in a culture like ours, committed to their divorce, that is now a key task of the church. At the most foundational level, each of the five modules of the Colson Center's upcoming virtual event this month called Truth, Love, Together is about remembering. You see, in our culture, there's no remembering without first defining. And that's why the first module, which features Oz Guinness, Sean McDowell, Abdu Murray, and Natasha Crane, is all about defining or remembering what truth is. The second module, with Johnny Erickson Tata, Pastor Chris Brooks, Louis Marcos, and me, is about defining or remembering what love is. From remembering, we have to move now into doing. That's why in Module 3, Andy Crouch, Brett Kunkel, Lauren and Michael McAfee, and Max McLean will challenge us on how we can become people of truth and love. In Module 4, the great apologist Lee Strobel, Pramod Hawk, Yuju Ekiocha, and Jay Warner Wallace will remind us that telling the truth is an act of love, how we can tell the truth in love. Finally, Katie Faust, J.P. DeGance, and this year's Wilberforce Award winner Bob Fu will teach us how to love the victims of lies by speaking the truth. This is a 360-degree look on truth, love, and truth and love together. And it's absolutely free. Just come to wilberforceweekend.org to register. All five modules with more than 20 sessions will be available live or on demand. Again, the cost is free. It's at wilberforceweekend.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
All right. Thank you, John. A chill in the air out there, and it's not going away for a while. Kevin's got your weather next.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life weather forecast. This afternoon, cloud cover and any showers give way to some sunshine. Breezy, much cooler than yesterday. Temperatures in the 40s and low 50s. Then tonight, we clear out. Frosty cold. 20s and low 30s for most. Tomorrow, the sun shines, but it's chilly. 40s and low 50s. Wednesday, rather cloudy, a bit of rain, especially in Pennsylvania. High temps in the 40s and lower 50s.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's happening this Monday afternoon, the 4th of May. President Trump thinks the U.S. could have a coronavirus vaccine by year's end. During a Fox News town hall at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last night, the president said it is possible to restart the economy while at the same time protecting Americans from this pandemic.
What I want to do is, number one, we're getting rid of the virus. We have to do it. We're working with the governors. We're getting rid of the virus. But we got to put our country back to work. All those people out there that are protesting, they're right. They want to go back to work.
Mr. Trump warned it is possible that as many as 100,000 Americans could die from the virus. More businesses are opening their doors, and the nice weekend weather caused a lot of us to emerge from our COVID-19 quarantines. Many ignored calls, however, for masks and social distancing. David Begno continues.
The weather was really nice, and so people went to Central Park. There were a lot of people without masks. Crowds also gathered on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to watch the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds soar overhead. And on the beaches in Florida and Texas. Hundreds of people attended large parties in Chicago over the weekend in direct defiance of Mayor Lori Lightfoot's threats to stay at home or risk being arrested.
We're not playing games. We mean business, and we are going to shut this down one way or the other.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Florida is among several states starting to reopen, but it's a very slow and cautious reopening.
Some businesses and restaurants can open up with reduced capacity. Governor Ron DeSantis says it'll be a deliberate process.
We are continuing to stress the need for testing and building a really strong infrastructure.
South Florida counties remain shut down. Most of the state's coronavirus cases are in those three counties.
Peter King reporting. Secretary of State Pompeo says China has to be held accountable for the coronavirus outbreak.
The Chinese Communist Party did all that it could to make sure that the world didn't learn in a timely fashion about what was taking place. There's lots of evidence of that. Some of it you can see in public, right? Those who were trying to report on this, medical professionals inside of China, were silenced.
He insists there is enormous evidence the virus emerged in a Wuhan laboratory. Colleges and universities across this country are grappling with how to plan for this fall semester.
We're planning for all scenarios. We'll be ready to go if we need to be online. If we can be on ground and start there, we'll be ready for that and then transition later.
Keith Peterson at Pepperdine University.
There are a lot of moving parts here, from where our students are coming from, our international students, to size of gathering that we'll have, social distancing rules, what they will look like in the fall.
Many students demanding at least partial refunds from their colleges because of canceled classes caused by COVID-19. And from the business world, J. Crew announcing today it is filing for bankruptcy. The clothing retailers had to close some 500 stores due to the pandemic. Wegmans and Kroger stores are putting limits on your meat purchasing power. The limits on beef, chicken, and pork products are to keep stores from running out after coronavirus outbreaks at meat processing plants across the country. Well, a half century ago, this country was divided by the war in Vietnam. On this day in 1970, an anti-war protest on a college campus in Ohio turned deadly.
50 years later, there are many reminders on the Kent State campus.
It's here where the guard fired.
Where we're standing right now.
Right where we're standing.
Alan Canfora was a Kent State student in 1970. He was one of those wounded. A shot went through his wrist.
I was going to walk up to the campus to attend the rally at noon. I thought we'd have a brief rally. It'd be peaceful.
It was anything but peaceful. There was another confrontation. There were chants. There was rock throwing. The National Guard fired tear gas. Students were ordered to disperse.
Leave this area immediately.
Then it happened.
About a dozen altogether stopped. They all turned. They all raised their weapons, and they all began to shoot.
They have been shot. They are dead.
Dean Kaler was also hit by a bullet. It injured his spine. He has been paralyzed for a half century.
I could hear bullets hitting the ground around me. Next thing I know, I got hit.
That's where Jeffrey Miller fell.
Jeffrey Miller was 20 years old, and the picture of his body lying on the ground next to a young woman kneeling and screaming in anguish became the iconic image of the Kent State shootings. It is considered one of the top pictures of the 20th century.
You know, I still dream that I'm walking around.
Dean Kaler says it's hard to believe it's been 50 years.
I don't dream I'm in a wheelchair. I still dream I'm a tall, red-headed guy walking around this earth.
Steve Futterman, Kent, Ohio.
Kent State. It happened 50 years ago today. Well, next at noon, a conversation with Dr. Alveda King. She is the niece of the late civil rights icon, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and she is one remarkable lady, a Christian evangelist, author, and pro-life activist, talking to our own Tracy Lynn about God's purpose during the pandemic. Take a listen.
Alveda, we know God did not dump COVID-19 on us, yet he's the sovereign one and he's reigning over each of us. What do you think is his purpose in allowing this health pandemic?
Well, actually, I asked God early on between February and March. I was at the White House for Black History Month. The president addressed several of us, and then we went to a larger meeting with the African-American community at the White House, and he had talked to us about COVID-19 before the shutdown. So I said, God, is this you? Are you bringing COVID upon us? And before I could finish the sentence, I had an impression in my heart, go to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth are mad and try to come against my son. And I said, okay, I get it. This is human error. This is human activity. Mm-hmm. So God, why are you allowing this? And then the next impression I received was, so you'll do 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. I said, I get it. You want us to pray. So we were already praying, and I'm part of prayer groups, and so are you, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. However, people begin to really get it. Oh, he wants us to come back. I have a book, America Return to God. So we need to come back to God. That's why God allowed it. We have to have faith in God and not be fearful, but be prayerful and faithful. We don't need to panic. We need to pray. So as we do those things, we are seeing the salvation of the Lord. Some translations stand still. Doesn't mean stop moving, stop doing anything. Doesn't mean have inertia. But continue to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait on the Lord means to serve. You know, you go to a restaurant, waiter, waitress, can I have some water or whatever? So we are waitresses and waiters for God.
Many of us in New York and Pennsylvania are still kept inside for maybe up to 2 more weeks, mid-May perhaps. We may be feeling a little useless, maybe a little unmotivated, and frankly tired of streaming videos. The Bible contains numerous narratives about individuals being prepared in the waiting time, kind of like Joseph in prison. How do you think we as Christians, Alveda, can be preparing now for current and future interactions that the Lord wants us to be a part of?
Well, we prepare by doing those things we can do at home, certainly praying for even the instant responders and those who are the front line in the stores and the restaurants. Please never forget them and thank them. I give double tips sometimes when I drive through the drive-thru to pick up food now, and to be prepared to do the next thing. I was talking to somebody today. I said, now, when COVID lifts to a certain extent, there's some applications and things that we need to be ready to do. Don't wait till it lifts to get ready. Get ready now.
Alveda, going forward, how else can we, as lovers and followers of Jesus, influence the people around us?
I learned from my grandfather, Martin Luther King Sr., my daddy, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, my uncle, the prophet, Martin Luther King Jr. We have to love, forgive, love God, love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, we have to love ourselves too, and not to be fearful, but to be prayerful and faithful, praying instead of panicking.
How can we also help our neighbors in physical, tangible ways right now?
Actually, I've been talking to my neighbors across the fence. We do a lot of that, and some of the other neighbors around the neighborhood. And when I'm out on the yard watering, we wave, we talk, we catch up. And if there's some kind act or deed that we can do for our neighbors, that we are available to do that. Just be helpful, be loving.
Alveda, before you go, why are you personally so passionate about God and protecting others?
I became a born-again Christian in 1983. That means I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, redeeming me from my own sins. But prior to that, I was born in a Christian family. My mother wanted to abort me in 1950 when I was conceived. Mm-hmm. On April 22nd. That's why I celebrate April 22nd and my birthday January 22nd the next year. But my granddaddy told my mother that that would be an abortion. I write about this in all my books. You can find it at civilrightsfortheunborn.org or alvedaking.com. So I was born for this. And later I had secret abortions myself. After I grew up, I repented. In 83, I became a born-again Christian. So I support life from the womb to the tomb. We're one human race. We're not separate human races. One race, one blood, with different ethnicities.
Amen. Alveda, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And one more time, your website?
www.alvedaking.com, civilrightsfortheunborn.org. for my pro-life testimony.
Dr. Alveda King on what Christians should be doing during this period of waiting. By the way, you can hear Tracy's entire interview online at fln.org/podcast. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Cold front crossing the area today, bringing a quick end to the warmth we enjoyed yesterday, and the beginning of a pattern that will generate much cooler than normal air that'll carry us not only this week, but well into next week as well. Sandwich in between is your Mother's Day weekend. It looks exceptionally chilly, and there'll be the risk of frosts, freezes and flakes this Mother's Day weekend. In the meantime, for this afternoon, cloud cover and any showers give way to some sunshine. Breezy, much cooler than yesterday. Temperatures in the 40s and low 50s. Then tonight we clear out, frosty cold, 20s and low 30s for most. Tomorrow, the sun shines, but it's chilly, 40s and low 50s. Wednesday, rather cloudy, a bit of rain, especially in Pennsylvania. High temps in the 40s and lower 50s.
All right, Kevin, some weird weather, that's for sure. Finally, at noon today, Star Wars fans, today's your day. It sure is your day, and correspondent Dean Mucho tells us why.
This day was chosen because of the pun of an iconic phrase, "May the Force be with you," which many people change to say, "May the Fourth be with you." This year, Disney Plus is celebrating by placing the final installment of the newest trilogy, Episode 9, The Rise of the Skywalker, on its streaming platform. The addition marks the first time that all 9 Star Wars films will be in one location to watch.
How about that? Thank you very much, Dean. And that's the world we live in for a Monday. Yeah, a Monday, May the 4th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.